Well, I want to tell you about a friend of mine. He never knew God until 25 years old when he came to faith. He started coming to church and he had an experience of God. He felt God's love and power. And so he became a Christian and he started to grow spiritually. But then came a point when he no longer felt God's presence. And so he and I talked about it. What's going on? Let's try to fix it, right? And then the next year, we had that same conversation. What's going on? Let's try to fix it. And the next year, we did the same thing. And we have been doing this now for years. Now, brothers and sisters and dear guests, this experience happens to a lot of us. We describe it like this. We say, I feel far away from God. What's going on? I feel dry. I don't feel God's presence. I feel I'm in spiritual desolation. Now, usually because of this, we start out, we're very involved in Mass. We always come to Mass. We're very involved in the church. But when we don't feel God anymore, what do? We stop coming. We're not as involved anymore. And usually what we do is we wait for something to happen. We think, okay, God's going to come and make me feel close to him again. And you know what? That rarely happens. So I want to give you a solution to this. And it's based on the first reading. The Lord said to Abraham, look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Now in the ancient Near East, to be without children was a family's greatest misfortune. So Abraham has no children, and he's already 78 years old. So God says, look at the stars. I'm going to give you as many descendants as the stars. But here's the thing. When Abraham looked up, it was daytime. Now, if we read carefully, because that's what it says, as the sun was going down, when the sun had gone down and it was dark. The point is the stars are there, but he can't see them. God makes a promise, but you can't see the promise. But Abraham still believes God and he still commits his heart to him. So the solution, if ever you feel far away from God, don't wait for something to happen. The solution is you got to commit your heart more than before. Now, we have talked about this before. It's the difference between knowing that God is there and feeling that God is there. A year and a half ago, I shared with you a story about a bodybuilder named Sagi Kalev. And when he was 18 years old, he joined the Israeli military because it was mandatory. And 3 days before he gets sent out, he calls his mom and he said he was crying like a baby. And his mom, in order to comfort him, you know what she did? She hung up on him. And he calls back and he says, I think the phone got disconnected. And his mom says, nope, I hung up on you. It's time for you to grow up. So his mom knew that he could rely on her love. But he can't rely on her to call. He can't rely on her to call her every time he's feeling afraid. He's got to live by the knowledge that he loves her, not by the feeling of it. The reason why my friend I just told you about, the reason why he's far away from God is because he's not totally committed to God. Now, my friend has told me, and I know he's not totally committed to God, he's told me he's not faithful to daily prayer. He skips church when he feels he needs to. So he thinks God is far away. Not true. Just like the stars, they're there, you just can't see them. The truth is his heart is far away from God. Now, someone challenged me again when they read this homily as a preview. You remember at the beginning of February, we talked about self-censorship, and I said to you, I sometimes hold back telling you everything I'm thinking because I don't want to overwhelm you. I'm afraid I might kind of tell you something that will really disturb you. But then we said we shouldn't do that. We have to speak the truth. Let's just be candid. So someone called me out and said, Father Justin, you're holding back again. So I appreciate the feedback. Keep it coming. I want to be challenged more. So, okay, let me be more candid with you. My friend, who has many virtues, whom I love, okay, he's not even doing the bare minimum. The bare minimum for someone who chooses to follow Christ is daily prayer every day. The bare minimum for someone who chooses to follow Christ is Mass every single Sunday. That's the minimum. If we want to talk about total commitment means I don't just talk to God throughout the day, which is good. Keep on doing that. Total commitment to God means I'm going to give God dedicated time every day because I love him. It means we're going to study our faith. It means we're going to practice works of mercy. It means we're going to give sacrificially of our time, talent, and treasure. And it means we're going to enthusiastically share our faith. Now, we should, just for a minute, celebrate what happened last week. We had 40 days for life last week, and I mentioned to you, I think our numbers are a bit low. But God is good, and you are good. We had 307 people go to 40 days for life. That's amazing. I was just, when I read that number on an email, I said, I can't believe that. 307 people, that is something to celebrate. I want to thank you. I want to praise God. I'm in awe of that, so we should celebrate that. And if you didn't have a chance to participate with us this year, think about next year. Always Ash Wednesday. That's when we do our big pro-life push. Let's go back to my friend. He doesn't want to believe he's the reason why he's far away from God. He wants to find any other reason except him. Because it's human nature. We always want to shift the responsibility from ourselves onto someone or something else. There's a good priest I know. I once asked him, I said, how are you doing, Father? And he said, well, I'm in a bit of a crisis. Well, Father Steve says I'm always in a crisis. And when he said that, you know what I realized? He's right. Father Steve is right. This priest, he's always in a crisis. Because the problem isn't out there. The problem is not with his parish or with anything outside of his life. The problem is in here. The problem is with our heart. The problem is with our commitment to God. Many married couples, before they get married, they really love each other and they have great feelings. But after marriage, typically those feelings go away, correct? And it's not the kid's fault. Well, sometimes it is. But we all want the feelings to come back. So in most healthy marriages, we try to do things to make the feelings come back, and it rarely works. What really works is when we say, I'm going to love my spouse even if I don't feel anything in return. I'm going to love my spouse even when I get nothing back. And you know what happens when you do that, right? The feelings come back. So what takes more love? For a parent to love a child who is ungrateful and lazy, or to love a child who's sweet and adorable like me? What takes more love? What takes more love? To come to Mass when we feel close to God, or to come to Mass when we don't feel close to God? You see, we feel distant from God because we don't love Him enough. We have been taught our whole lives to love when we get something in return, to love when it feels good, but that's not the attitude of Christ. The attitude of Christ is to love even when it hurts. And that's how He showed His love for us. Pope Benedict XVI says, it is part of love's growth that it seeks to become definitive. For love to say, I will always love you, even if I get nothing back. That's the kind of love we're talking about. So when we're in desolation, God does not always come to our rescue. Rarely does He come to our rescue, because He's waiting for us to become like Him. That is committed. Back to the first reading. God then promises Abraham to give him land. But Abraham said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? The Lord said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And Abraham went to PetSmart. Just kidding. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. When the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. Now the meaning of this passage, which we'll leave up, the meaning of this passage is those animals are clean animals according to the Bible, meaning they're suitable for sacrifice. So he cuts them in half. And in the ancient Near East, whoever passed between those cut in half dead animals was saying, may I be like these dead animals if I break the commitment I just made to you. The smoking fire pot and the flaming torch represent God. So God is saying, if I betray the covenant I'm making with you, let me die like these animals. So God is making a commitment. He's showing a sign of His love, and that's what love does. Many people tell me, Father Justin, I'm dry. Father Justin, I don't feel close to God anymore. Father Justin, I'm in desolation. And sometimes I think to myself, why is it that so many people are in desolation all the time, and I rarely am? So ask me, why am I rarely in desolation? Go ahead, ask me. Rarely. Good question. Thanks for asking. So there are two reasons. Reason number one is I do get in a state of desolation, but I address it and I'm not preoccupied with it because I was trained at the seminary. Listen to your feelings. Feelings are good. Feelings tell us things that we might be unaware of. But sometimes feelings confuse us. So I was trained, don't always act on your feelings. So when I experience desolation, I don't panic, and I just commit myself more to prayer, and I just choose to love God. That's what I'm telling all of you to do. I told a seminarian recently, whenever we're in a crisis, you have to use spiritual means and human means to get out of it. So spiritual means, commit yourself more to God. Unite yourself to Jesus' cross. Turn to a spiritual friend, but after that, just go out for ice cream. It'll make you feel closer to God. Think about your favorite flavor, huh? I love just that coffee ice cream with chocolate chip inside it. You see, you feel already close to God when you think about that. Now, number two, I learned early on in my spiritual journey, bad things happen to us always, always, always. That's a normal part of life. Friends disappointing us, they said that's normal. Things not going the way we want, that's normal. So when it's in those times when bad things happen, that's when we show our love to God. So when I was 16, right after that conversion, feeling really loved by God, right after that, I was immediately disappointed with my new Catholic friends. What? But they taught me at the youth group, this is going to happen, and now you have a chance to prove your love for God. So I remember being on the phone with my friend and saying, okay, I will not leave God. Because that's what they taught me. When I was 19, pondering my decision to become a priest, there was a moment I was sitting in my room at my desk in the seminary, and my discernment was coming to a close, and it was becoming more and more clear God wanted me to be a priest. Part of me really didn't want it. But I made a decision to follow God, not because it felt good. In fact, it really hurt. Because all my dreams about getting married, gone. All my dreams about having fun with friends, gone. All my dreams about wanting to do what I want, gone. I made that choice because God loves me and because I love him. And I said to him in my prayer, okay, I will become a priest even if I'm miserable for the rest of my life because I love you. And that was a promise. And so at that moment, I forever closed the door on marriage. And because of the grace of that commitment, I think I've been preserved from all sorts of desolations and temptations. And I have to tell you, so you know, I'm not miserable as a priest. Okay, I've shared with you, I love being a priest. I was with someone recently. They were shadowing me because this person is thinking about becoming a priest. So I was able to share what I think all day long. And I have to say, the grace to give my whole life to God, so awesome. I never thought I'd be this happy. I didn't. And I never, for me to be able to enter into people's lives and to love them, you don't get to experience that grace. I wish you did. And I'm not saying that people who are miserable in their lives, you should ignore this, because God wants us to experience incredible joy. I'm just saying that sometimes we have to sacrifice the joy for the sake of love, because Jesus sacrificed his joy for love of us. The first reading finishes by saying, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. We've talked about a number of times this word covenant. Covenant means to make a family. So when a man and a woman get married, that's a covenant. When they adopt a child into their family, they're making a covenant with that child. And when we get baptized, God's making a covenant with us. So God is always leading us towards a covenant. He doesn't want to force us to love him, but he does want to win our hearts. He wants us to love him the way he loves us. So I want to remind you how much God loves you. All of us have so many things to be thankful for. All of us have seen beautiful things happen in our lives. You've experienced the hand of God. Some of us have even seen miracles. And we have to think about that. So I want to remind you of how much God loves you. I love you, and you are all good. One thing we need to do better as a parish is to invite people to make that commitment to God or to renew it or increase it. So what I'm suggesting today is, can we all make that commitment to God? Can we, if we've made it, can we renew it? Can we even increase it? And here's the thing, if you don't feel like making that commitment, you can still do it anyway. Actually, that's the greatest commitment. So if we've been on the fence in terms of our relationship with God, now's the time to get off the fence and choose God's side. Any point today during Mass, when you're ready, you can make whatever level of commitment you want in proportion to your love for God. During communion, we're going to show this prayer that you can use as a model to commit your life to God. If you've done Marian consecration, you can do that. Or a simple prayer like this: Jesus, I'll never leave you, no matter what. It doesn't matter what happens, I will always love you. And then you'll notice you'll be protected from so many temptations. In the great novels, The Lord of the Rings, the author, J.R.R. Tolkien, said that the novels are, of course, a fundamentally religious and Catholic work. The main character in Lord of the Rings is Frodo, who is a Christ-like character. And he has to carry the ring into the heart of evil to destroy it. And what does the ring symbolize? It symbolizes sin. Just like Christ has to destroy sin, Frodo, the Christ-like character, has to destroy it. And Frodo's accompanied by his best friend, Sam. I never understood Sam in the movies until my older brother said, Sam is a model of loyalty and loyal friendship. So we're going to end now with a clip from the end of the first film, where Frodo has just been betrayed. He realizes he has to carry the ring all by himself, and he has to take it. He doesn't want to, but that's his vocation. But his good friend Sam will not leave him, even if it means Sam has to die. And so the point of today's homily is what Sam will say. I made a promise. I made a promise. And that is what God says to us, and that's what we are invited to say to him.